We now interrupt our regularly scheduled episode of Zero Issues Comic Podcast for a message from the President of the United States of America.
Hi, everybody. Hello, everybody. It was a little rocky up in the sky tonight, I have to be honest. They said, sir,
it might be the weather wizard or one of those pesky inhumans.
Would you mind going back? Would you mind if we didn't stop? I said, there's no way we cannot stop, right?
Sorry, that didn't make a lick of sense. Maybe I should correct that.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Excuse me. And we're happy. We did something that was wonderful. And the world is soon going to be, and right now it is already. We have good chemistry. But the world is going to be a much safer place. And
Wakanda.
It's going to be a much better place. So it was really something that was good. Canada. Nice guy. Nice guy. I said,
Alpha Flight.
What's your problem?
Alpha Flight.
So
Puck is
great. I love
Puck.
But, and we had a wonderful understanding. You know that story. We hugged. We kissed.
Puck and I. It was very serious. Sensual.
Everybody was happy. I made some changes in this ridiculous thing. I left. Everybody was happy. Everybody was in love.
I held hands with Shaman. He let me touch his magic pouch.
They took the picture with
Snowbird.
But if they showed the picture, like 2 minutes later, I had a big smile. She had a big smile. We were friendly. Everybody. I get onto Air Force One, and he doesn't understand that Air Force One has 22 televisions. They have televisions in closets. They have televisions in area that no place has to.
You get what I'm saying, right? You know what I mean. Wink.
So I get onto the plane, and I see
Puck and Alpha Flight
saying
Alpha Flight
will not be bullied by the United States.
And the Avengers.
I say, what are we doing here? The fact is that
Alpha Flight
has a 275% tariff on
Wolverine-based characters.
Their
mutants
is a disaster with us. I say, why aren't we using our own
mutants?
Because now we're actually allowed to take
mutants
from our fields and regrow it, but take
mutants
for under our environmental system. In the old days, you couldn't do that. We had to go to other countries
to get tremendous mutants with fabulous hair and powers.
So
mutants
is a disaster.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
is a disaster. And, you know, I see
Alpha Flight
saying we fought
the Kree-Skrull War
together. We fought
against the might of drunk Uncle Galactus.
Together, that's true. We love
Alpha Flight.
It's all working out great. It's all working out great. And I said, look, if you want to do that, we're going to put a little tariff on you.
Deadpools.
Coming in, you know.
Deadpools.
These are the biggie. It sounds wonderful. So I told them, here's what we're going to do. We're going to charge a tariff on steel.
That fantastic DC character, close to my heart.
Until such time as you straighten out your act.
Excalibur
has what they call trade barriers. It's very hard for them to go trade. And if they do, it's very expensive. Same like
Alpha Flight.
Essentially, when you're paying a 275% tax, that's essentially a trade barrier. You can't trade. How can we trade?
Superhero figurines and comics.
We can't pay that kind of a tax. So I want the barriers taken down. Well, it's happening. But it really has been an incredible journey for all of us. We are the super elite. We are the super elite. It is true. We are. And we're going to call ourselves that.
On our new show on the WB.
You guys up for some reggae tonight?
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Welcome to the show. That was a harrowing speech.
Well,
I wish I could be intimate with Puck.
Can you really call yourself Canadian if you haven't?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
Okay, I'll leave. The country.
You're out.
Yeah.
Don't puck around.
So I want to. This is a different one. We're recording in the morning. Yeah. We almost never do this on a beautiful Friday morning. We're going to be a little more barely awake, get our NPR voices at the ready.
Mm-hmm. When we proposed that we record in the morning, I was like, yeah, okay, we can drink in the morning. That's fine.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And we've got wonderful sponsors, and we really want to thank our donors. Your tote bags are on their way. Up next, we're going to talk about a man who keeps bees. No, it's NPR, so I have to be far away from the mic.
I'd like to thank everyone who supports the Patreon.
Anyways, he keeps bees in a lunch bag.
Oh.
All that and more on this edition of...
Bees in a Lunch Bag.
Talking Muffled.
Oh, man.
On this edition of Barely Audible.
I feel like...
Sponsored by Audible.
Starring Michael Stipe.
My favorite part of the Barely Audible show in NPR is like probably the sixth hour when things get extra quiet.
The retrospective hour.
Yeah, the retrospective hour. Oh, it's amazing.
We get real honest and real quiet.
Current Zero News Flash.
Hey, what's new, you guys? It's the news.
It's the news.
What's newer than being new? Ice news? May I?
Absolutely.
Absolutely begin.
I'm going to start off with, and I'm sure at this point people will know this, but the Disney-Fox merger has taken another step forward. It's been...
Two steps back.
Yep. They come together because you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Media conglomerates attract.
Yeah. Anytime we can put MC Scat Cat in an episode.
It's a good morning.
It's a bold tradition.
Who owns MC Scat Cat? Because if he can make it into...
We all do.
It's definitely Disney by now. It's if not yet, then soon.
Yes. Waiting for that MC Scat Cat / C-Bear and Jamal crossover.
Next on the WB.
Anyway, it's been approved to, you know, it's been given the go-ahead by the Department of Justice or whoever.
Yeah.
Saying, like, non-monopoly, it's okay, you can do it. So the Fox shareholders are meeting on July 27th.
At the Scandi Room at the Valhalla.
That's right.
Just show up, make a mess.
Flip a table.
Yeah.
Make your voice heard.
So that's that. It's, it was a little nerve-wracking for a bit. Or not nerve-wracking. It was like, maybe Comcast is going to be able to buy them out.
Yeah.
Nope. So this is going to happen. This is gonna happen.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's exciting and terrifying. It's both.
Next, they purchase Canada.
No. Okay.
Look on your face. No.
Enjoy your tariffs, dicks.
I'm always up for more hidden Mickeys. Is the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I should have done in my sidewalk. I got a new sidewalk in front of my house. That's what I should have done in the wet cement. Hidden Mickey. Duh.
You go to Parliament Building. You go to the Comedy Tower. You got the gargoyles. You got your Mickeys. It's perfect.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, gargoyles.
Oh, man, you reminded me of another piece of news, but anyway. Apparently Jordan Peele might be making a gargoyles movie. That's all there is to it.
Really?
But it might happen. Cool. Mm. So that'd be cool.
As long as they get Keith David.
Yes. Goddamn right.
Yes. And hopefully it's live action, and it's actually just Keith David.
Yeah, yeah.
Just with some cheap wings.
Yeah. Just glued on.
Gotta tell you, I'd still watch the hell out of it.
Totally. Keith, if they play it up that it is horribly done and it's super cheap, that would be fantastic.
Keith, could we at least get you to shave the beard? I don't think you can.
You can try.
There are no razors that are strong enough.
Yeah.
That's Mr. David. I think you're aware. Sorry, Dad. Keith David is everyone's dad.
Oh, yeah!
Also in the news... Jared Leto is now confirmed to star as Morbius the Living Vampire in Sony's, Spidey spinoff.
You know what? I'm into it because they probably couldn't get Bono.
They're like, who's the pastiest white guy we know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to go full method again, and he's going to mail his plasma to his co-stars.
His plasma?
So weak. I need more plasma.
Sony's really digging the bottom of the barrel. Morbius.
You know what? I don't mind the character. Like, there's some cool stories with it, but it's this whole idea of just doing this spin-off stuff.
yeah.
of Spidey.
If you got to go with characters that you don't need Spider-Man to actually be present or even mentioned, Morbius works better than Venom, probably, I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's
a vampire story. Yeah, so it does not need to exist with Spider-Man, but they are just doing the spinoff just because of the rights and ownership.
I love this idea. I'm so into it.
This is probably one of the better in quotes ideas, but I mean, it shows how slim pickings they've got we got to basically not use Spider-Man or, yeah. Okay, here's what you got.
I still think that they're going to, like in this, same with the Venom, I still think they're going to not use Spider-Man, but it'll be mentioned or there'll be a 2-second cameo or something.
Right.
Yeah.
A few other things.
Yep.
These are both don't apply to Canada. I know that we are a very Canadian podcast, but tragically, it's still news.
Sorry.
GameStop. GameStop, which is the U.S. video game chain. Okay. So they're rolling out an initiative. They're going to be carrying spinner racks in their stores. Because I mean, they're a video game store, but they're
just
also
spinner racks. Nothing on them.
No, just empty spinner racks.
You can put your small children on them and then just spin the
hell
out of
them. They're just going to load them up with Funko Pops, call it a day. So they're going to have spinner racks with a very small selection of comics they're going to be stocking and selling in their stores. I think there's like 6,000 stores in the U.S., so that's kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Initially, they're going to be carrying Batman, Black Panther, Captain America, Cable, Moon Knight, weirdly enough, Old Man Logan.
Sure.
Yeah. Saga, Spectacular Spider-Man, and Rick and Morty comics. Saga in particular sort of seems like, that's like an R-rated comic, which seems like you're putting that right next to Spidey. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember that issue where you open it and the first thing you see is a big vagina?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that right
it'll be.
I'm okay with that, but yeah.
Yeah, it'll be on the top, and no one will be able to reach it except Max and Maddie.
Anyway, yeah, so Diamond as well. The spinner rack is coming back as Diamond is pushing, I guess.
Wait, I'm sorry, could you say that more like a rap?
The spinner rack is back!
Thank you.
So Diamond's kind of, they're pushing an initiative. They want, like, retailers, like comic retailers, to basically put spinner racks in other businesses in their area. There's a little bit of pushback on that, being like, so you want us to
put business in other
stores? Anytime you have any sort of comics being sold in a non-comic store, you're going to get that pushback from retailers.
I heard that Pizza is pushing to have pizzas in other stores, and like in The Gap.
Yes.
And they'll be on spinner racks as well.
You know, maybe you're trying to fit yourself into a pair of slim jeans. It's taken a while. You get a little hungry.
Yep.
Boom, slice of pizza.
Yep.
Making it much harder to fit in those pants, I must say.
Ooh, snug.
But, you know. I don't know business. Sort of on that note, Walmart, they've got to deal with DC Comics.
Speaking
where
they're
gonna
have, of I don't
yeah,
know
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't know. They're going to be putting out exclusive 100-page giants, kind of bringing back that format, exclusive to Walmart, starting days ago, July 1st. And they're going to have some original 12-page Batman and Superman stories in some of them, including, starting in September, original Batman story written by Brian Bendis, and a Superman story written by Tom King. So they're kind of flopping,
so good
like,
because
Tom King does Batman, and Bendis is doing Superman, so they're kind of flipping those over. And this is going to be Bendis' first Batman story. Kind of a big deal. So they're going to just be, like, 12-page stories.
But available exclusively in Walmart.
Yeah.
And exclusively in the United States.
Yeah, not coming to Canada.
No.
So that's cool.
That's the bit that I saw on some Facebook group that I'm on, that they're like, I'm Canadian, and yeah, this is dumb.
That's okay. We can illegally download it.
Yeah.
We can definitely do that. Yeah. And if we have no other option, who can blame us?
Yeah.
I'll smuggle it over the border. I'll pay some tariffs.
Yeah. I'll cram it right on my beehole.
They're mostly, like, reprints.
It's 100 pages, though.
That's,
oh, my God. Do
we, if we could get a clean version of that, Kyle? Like the recording or the comic?
Yeah.
Yes.
So they're starting off with four series. There's going to be a Superman, Batman, Justice League, and Teen Titans. Again, 100 pages. It's mostly reprints, but there are original stories in them. Priced at, like, $5 U.S. Good. It's a good value.
Yep.
I think for the current market. And, I mean, it's going to obviously be more widely available than comic stores.
Yeah.
Retailers are not super, super thrilled about that exactly, especially those big deal original stories that they're not going to get. maybe we'll get eventually in, like, I'm sure they'll be in, like, a trade paperback.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're going to sell the hell out of a Bendis Batman.
Wait, there's a 12-page Batman and a 12-page Superman? They're going to put them together in a book.
Well, yeah.
Or it's going to be a free comic book day thing in a couple years. Or
yeah. Well, it's a 12-page, but 12-part. So put that together, that's a graphic novel.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
It seems like that's
but each part is only one page.
Yeah.
And each page is only 12 pages. It's a Tesseract. Yeah. It's a hypercube.
Yeah. One thing I did notice, if you heard of Larry's Comics in the States, he's pretty outspoken retailer.
Okay.
He's threatening on Twitter to punish every lower tier creator included in these by cutting orders on their books. He'd be like, well, we can't cut Bendis and Tom King because they're too big. But we're going to cut orders on every creator involved in these. But the thing is, like, these are, like,
those creators are not, well, but the creators themselves are not the ones that make those decisions.
Yeah, but that's their way of, like, putting the finger down, putting the finger on the scale a bit, because I guess he's a major retailer, but it's like, but yeah, but also, like,
don't carry DC. Oh, wait, meaning you can't not carry DC. Yeah, I know.
It seems weird.
Thanks again, capitalism.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And again, if most of these creators are, like, these are reprints, so it's like, why are you, they didn't even do this for this purpose. Like, it was an old story that was stocked in your store, so you're punishing them for nothing.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Creating a lot of controversy. So, yeah. Now you know.
And finally, as of recording, it was just yesterday, Harlan Ellison, famed science fiction writer, has passed away at the age of 84.
Yes. Old curmudgeon bastard. You have to love him. You love him or you hate him, but...
Old curmudgeon, once a young curmudgeon.
Yep.
A curmudgeon always.
No, totally.
A curmudgeon for the ages.
The first time I posted this on the Merc page, the first time I ever encountered him was, I didn't actually encounter him, I just saw pictures of him. They were moving. It's called a film. It was on Prisoners of Gravity, the TVO series that was about, like, comics and science fiction and stuff. And it's the first time on TVO, there was, like, just a litany of swears of just him just so pissed off at something. And I'm like, what am I watching? What is this? How do writers talk like this? Like, yes, this writer does. Yep.
It was an interview in a diner. It was just regarding his soup order.
Yeah, that's exactly
I said plain soup.
What is plain soup? Just do it!
Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you might know him from stuff like Demon with the Glass Hand, which was a Twilight Zone episode that arguably the Terminator was based on.
Right.
He did a Star Trek episode or two.
City on the Edge of Tomorrow was like the big one.
Yeah.
Right.
He did do comics as well.
Yep.
I caught something just yesterday saying, this is a Batman story that he did. I'm like, oh, Harlan Ellison wrote Batman. Yep. What do you know?
Seems like a weird fit.
But hey, whatever.
What works, works.
So, Godspeed, you old curmudgeon.
It's first thing in the morning, so we raise our glasses of... It's mimosas. It's not.
It is not.
Welcome to the warm-up!
Okay, today for the warm-up, we have a very special Canada versus America quiz. So we're pitting Canadian teams or creators, just sort of a quiz fact. We're not saying like one's better or anything like that, but we're
does one, how very does one Canadian of us get of to you. Represent Canada and the other one get to represent the U.S.?
No, it's not that at all. I've rigged this, so...
who has the best maple syrup?
So this is again one of my a-hole quizzes, so this might be unreal.
So I'm gonna lose, is what you're saying.
Quizmaster Bri, and we've got Quiz Boy Merc and Quiz Boy Kyle.
I am a boy.
Alright, so five questions. Starting off. So we have two teams, one very Canadian, one very American. Which team between the two has the most members? And before you answer, I have got to clarify it a bit. So it's Alpha Flight and X-Force. However, we're not counting like Omega Flight, which doesn't really fall under the banner. We're also not counting like X-Statics X-Force because they're not original X-Force.
Well, we're counting all the others.
Who has had more members?
More individual members.
So X-Force.
I'm going with Alpha Flight.
It's like, Kyle.
Like, if you take out the X-Statics and take out the original X-Force,
Yeah. It's like the original X-Force, but it's not, like the new mutant, like when they became X-Force and taking the Static Seekers because they weren't.
Oh, okay.
And not counting Omega Flight. But yeah, it is, I had to count them all out. And then Alpha Flight's had a lot
of members. Flex, didn't you?
Alpha Flight's had a lot of members, and they've had like these sort of like subgroups that were part of Alpha Flight as well. 47 individual members of Alpha Flight and 41 of X-Force.
And Puck was 42 of them.
He absolutely was, yes. So,
Big Puck, Little Puck, Angry Puck, Happy Puck. Yeah. What the Puck?
Bouncing Puck.
All right. Now.
Lady Puck.
Lady Puck.
Well, that was his daughter. Also Puck.
Yes.
Gwen Puck.
She was full sized. Yeah. Gwen Puck. Puck Pool.
Oh, I'm drawing Gwen Puck now. That's a good idea.
Awesome. Second question. We are asking 616 only. We're not counting every stupid multiverse thing in the world. Who between these two has led more teams? Cyclops or Wolverine?
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He actually has.
Yeah.
Cyclops, obviously the X-Men. I'm not counting each individual group of X-Men. The X-Men X-Men.
Well, that's...
X-Men, X-Factor. There was a little Corsair Squad as part of the New Mutants initiative. The Phoenix Five. You could count, there was like a multiversal X-Men in Extreme X-Men, I guess that regular Cyclops led. I'll count it.
Sure.
Wolverine, X-Men, X-Force, The Flight, which was like an early Alpha Flight.
Right.
The Hard Seven.
They just drank a lot of tiny beers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weapon X, The Hard Seven, which is a group you put together.
What?
I know. And House of
Only
M.
Only available on the top of the rack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm counting House of M because it was... You know, altered reality, but still 616, the Red Guard.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So that would be 6 to Cyclops' 5. Who's the great leader now? I mean, Cyclops still has quality over quantity.
Hey, so he's a good leader.
Suck it, Slim.
Yeah. Alrighty. Thirdly, between the two Superman creators, Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel, who has the most credits in DC Comics? Who's written or drawn the most at DC?
Schuster.
Siegel.
It is Siegel.
I had a feeling. Because Schuster went blind.
It's sad, yes. Yeah. Even before that, he had a pretty rough go of it. Yeah. Siegel. And, Schuster was more, Siegel was more writing and Schuster more drawing. So, So, sadly, Siegel, as far as I could figure out, has, at least 700 or more credits, and Schuster, I think, is, 164.
Ooh.
My count might be off, but not even close, sadly.
Yeah.
All right, question the fourth.
But who has an award named after them?
Goddamn right, exactly. Again, it's quantity. I'm not saying quality, it's quantity.
Yeah.
So, similarly, Fantastic Four, there's a couple of major creators, obviously Kirby and John Byrne.
Yep.
Who has the most Fantastic Four credits between the two of those?
Byrne. I'm going with John Byrne.
I'll go with Kirby then.
Pretty sure it's Kirby.
Boom!
Aww.
Byrne had a 5-year run initially, and he did some other stuff as well here and there. But Kirby's total
Burned.
102 issues plus 6 annuals, so 108 total credits. And Byrne, I'm 63, unless I'm wrong. But you can't touch the king. And finally...
Well, you can, but he'll punch you.
Yeah. Final question, Brian K. Vaughan, Artist Collaboration Edition.
Oh.
Yeah. So, and I'm counting collaborations, not like a one-off issue here or there. I'm counting more of at least a 5 or 6 issue run or more. Or like a graphic novel.
I can think of 3 Canadian artists.
Who is he worth? Has he worked with more Canadians or Americans on collaborations?
I want to say Canadians. Because they in his major books,
you should say it,
all been Canadian.
Well, you got it right.
Boom.
And I can list them: Pia Guerra in Why the Last Man, Fiona Staples, Saga, Steve Scrouse, We Stand on Guard, Nico Henriken on Pride of Baghdad, Steve Rolston on The Escapists, Adrian Alfona on Runaways, as well Takeshi Miyazawa on Runaways as well, the alternate. And Stuart Immonen on Ultimate X-Men.
Oh, right.
And I got 7. Again, I'm counting everyone who I could really pin down and sort of fit those parameters. So there's 8 Canadians I have on this list. 7 Americans. So Cliff Chang on Paper Girls, Brandon Peterson, Andy Kubert, and Tom Rainey on Ultimate X-Men, Tony Harris on Ex Machina, Kyle Hotz on The Hood, and Roger Peterson on Swamp Thing.
Cool beans.
Forgot about Ex Machina. That was an okay book.
It was pretty good.
Hmm. Huh.
It's not the one you think of at first.
No, no, for sure.
So, all said, we have a reigning quiz boy, and his name is Merc.
Woo! That never happens.
Yeah.
And we're doing quizzes in the morning all the time.
It happens more than you think.
3-2 And also, the winners of the questions, if you look at it, Canada versus America, Canada 3-2 Rigged it.
Yep. All right, today we're talking Canada, U.S. There's been a lot of stuff in the news lately. Our certain relations are getting a little tense.
Yeah, they're getting a little we stand on guard.
Yeah, really.
They're coming for our water.
Oh, well, I mean, we did take out the White House, like in that book. Or did we?
Yeah, 200 years ago.
I mean, this isn't going to be posted for a number of days after recording, so who knows what will happen.
Your national holiday is too close to ours. Also, I'm a mobster.
See?
Super
play.
Bilingual bitches. I'm not, though.
Yeah, so where do we start on this? Where do we attack this?
Let's jump into the Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We stand on guard, which I think is the most...
It's one of those... Probably.
And it was totally. They just wanted our water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was like, what, 300 years, it's supposed to be based 300 years after the War of 1812.
Yeah, it's 2112.
2112, also the name of a Rush album.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. American president is assassinated by Canadian drones, but it's claimed that it could be a false flag event, and it was, like, just rigged so that it gave the Americans an excuse to invade, and they invade us with big machinery. So this is already
big old Jaegers.
Yeah, well, it's already kind of happened at this point. Like, it starts partway into the story, and it's basically they're getting our water because of climate change. The U.S. is just a dry cesspool of debauchery and deserts. I don't know. I'm making stuff up.
Yeah, yeah, good alliteration.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Yeah, and it's basically at that point, the U.S. had pretty much won the war, or so they thought.
Yeah.
And it's just a small ragtag bunch of... Including one French guy who everyone understands because everyone in Canada is bilingual.
Yeah.
I definitely know French.
Yes.
Do not test me.
Je suis un Kyle.
It was a really good... series. I wasn't sure, and it just kind of popped up out of nowhere. I remember seeing
five issues or six issues? The first issue was like 40-something pages.
Yeah. I don't recall. I want to say five, but I'm not even sure, to be honest.
That's some light Canada Day reading. And by the time this comes out, it's no longer Canada Day.
You missed it!
And as we said, Scrantz was, you did the art, is Canadian as well.
Yep.
Brian K. Vaughan's wife is also Canadian, and I think that had a little bit to do with it. I remember seeing some of his bits at the end of the issue, just kind of commenting on that. And then I did come across a thing last night that when he and Pia Grier were who did Why the Last Man together years ago. I don't know if he was serious, but he jokingly kind of said it started at this point. They were on a convention panel, and Vaughn is from Cleveland, and he proudly states that Superman is a hometown creation, like Jerry Siegel being from Cleveland.
Yes.
And, of course, Joe Shuster is from Toronto, and so everybody there was like, it did not go well. people started, Joe Shuster, and everybody's standing up, and he, Vaughn jokes.
Everyone's showing him that heritage moment.
Strong, but by day, he's a mild-mannered reporter. Glasses, you know, a secret identity.
Honestly, you Canadian kids.
And, he jokes that it almost came to blows.
we really should take him back.
Yeah.
Well, I heard he renounced his citizen 5 years ago.
He's always ahead of the curve, that Superman. As we've hinted at, just plainly said, things do get a little tense on pretty much every border the U.S. has.
Mm-hmm. And borders that they do not have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Wakanda.
They're cracking down on immigrants. So my thought is, how would this impact in comics? you have some famous Canadian immigrants to the U.S. At least a couple.
One or two.
Name off the top of your head.
Lord knows if they're legal.
That's the thing. So I just want to say, like, how would this happen if they're cracking down on immigrants, especially Canadian immigrants? Maybe they
kick Wolverine out because he's smuggling in adamantium.
That's true. Yep. There are tariffs on adamantium now.
It's steel tariffs and adamantium and
it's
vibranium.
It's part of my skeleton, bub. We don't care.
You did not declare it on your form.
There's no way that that Wolverine is documented. There's no chance. As well, like, would he even have, like, a SAN or a passport or anything like that? He was born in the 1800s. How would you even go about that?
He hands the passport and he looks at it. Patch?
Yeah.
Your name is Patch?
Yeah.
Oh, so, like, patches?
Pulls an eye patch out of his back pocket.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Yeah. So, yeah, he's definitely murdered a lot of people. He's 100% a criminal. You could make the argument that he's a criminal immigrant, and that would actually be valid.
A crimigrant.
A crimigrant, yeah, exactly. He wantonly smokes indoors. I mean, I guess that's probably not a problem in the States.
Not in the States.
Yeah. No, it's more of a Canada problem. There's a reason that he went to the States, and that's it.
I couldn't smoke anywhere.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And I went looking for stubby beer bottles.
If the U.S. government is cracking down on immigrants and brown people, let's be real, they're probably cracking down on mutants, too, and probably will want to make an example of the most popular mutant, so I feel like Wolverine is out of there.
Hmm.
The only saving grace he has is being white.
I was gonna say, the brown mutants.
Yeah.
Sunspot?
Yeah.
Dust?
Boy, that's... That whole sort of metaphorical thing is kind of it's kind of thin, huh? Deadpool.
I was gonna say Deadpool would be out too.
Yeah, again, same reasons. He's a criminal. Like, oh boy, he's a criminal. Just such a criminal. Like, I don't. Do you think?
And if they bring him in for questioning,
yeah,
that doesn't go well.
Do you think can you get like a valid work visa for being an assassin? I don't think so.
Sir, you just drew little doodles all over of you stabbing people.
Yeah. And he wears a mask, and he's really into Mexican food, so... Mm. I'm just saying, they might feel like that's a reason to target him, too.
Well, he might be Banksy.
Yeah. It's possible he's Banksy, you don't know.
Canada is sending us their worst.
The only
They're criminals, they're assassins.
Yeah. The only way around...
They're idiots.
The only way I think there's around getting deported for Deadpool is he is very violent and very amoral, so ICE might just recruit him.
Nice.
Ouch.
I'm curious, like, this occurred to me earlier. Captain America has always sort of been a little more left-leaning.
Yes.
And by comparison, since his debut at least, U.S. Agent is... sort of the right-wing answer to Captain America.
Yeah.
And nobody likes U.S. Agent. Like, not as a character, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more character development would be nice. But he's always a little more right-wing. They've fought a few times. But what I would really like to see is U.S. Agent versus Guardian.
Oh.
Because I think that'd be an interesting fight.
Yeah.
Why am I thinking...
U.S. Agent was on... Omega Flight.
Yeah, I was like, wasn't he in Alpha Flight or something? Right, yeah.
But now that Alpha Flight is like, it's a space thing.
It's puck in space.
Yeah.
Which I gotta say, it's not the worst pitch I've ever heard.
No,
it's actually pretty good.
Picture puck. Now we put him in a spaceship.
Boom.
Boom. Gold.
You're welcome. Yeah, I'd like to see that. That'd be more interesting of a crossover than Steve. Because I feel like they'd probably agree on a lot of things.
Yeah, well, anything with Steve, like, Steve would beat both of them handily. It's a foregone conclusion, so it wouldn't really be interesting. But, like, a Guardian U.S. agent fight would be like, oh, well, maybe this dick has a point about something, but then he doesn't. And then, bammo.
Get him?
Bammo.
I like it.
Chapter House has an event going on right now through their comics. This is based. Chapter House is the Canadian comic company has Captain Canuck and Fantoma and Human Lizard, whatever. And it's like
the Human Lizard thing,
something like that. And they have a big event with it's crossovering all their characters, but it's called Invasion. And I think it's actually aliens. But they're playing up the whole Canada-US thing right now.
Oh, okay.
So on the cover of their one, it's Trudeau kind of like pointing like with all the characters running and attacking and they're like, go,
nice.
My minions.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's an alternate B cover with Trump. Kind of like shaking his fist and
it's that's one of the things about Canadians, at least we Canadians, like the guys in this room, oftentimes our identity, our national identity is very much based on like comparing ourselves.
Oh, absolutely, that's a huge part of Canadian identity.
We're not them.
Yeah. It's based around what do they do. We're not quite like that. We're like them. Like, we're very similar in culture.
Oh, we're much nicer. We're not always nicer. We've done some fucking terrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look at the general. Yeah. Hey.
Let's not be too high and mighty.
Colonization is a nightmare.
Yeah.
But hockey and beer commercial.
Yeah. Lacrosse.
Tim's.
That's the thing. Yeah. I saw some panels from it that looked like they were clearly having fun indulging themselves in that.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
That's kind of neat.
That's
we did mention tariffs. So, again, trying to apply real-world things to comic universes.
Mr. Terrific?
Yeah, Mr. Terrific. how would this trade war erupting between the U.S. and Canada impact comic book universes? As we said before, adamantium. Is there an adamantium tariff? I feel like there must be.
Vibranium, adamantium.
Oh, absolutely.
Kryptonite.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, that's coming from far away.
Yeah.
I think DC would be fine because there's no Canada in DC.
Yeah, is there?
Name, like, one Canadian superhero from DC.
Yeah, fair enough. It's there, but it's,
I never even
thought. Oh, that's sad.
Oh, there is a, who is, when Todd McFarlane started on Infinity Inc.
Okay.
That was one of his...
Oh, yeah.
That was one of his first series, that was his first long-running series that he did. He's from Calgary, and they did a huge story arc where they went to Calgary. There was some sort of, like...
Chinook.
Yes.
And it was the Winter Olympics, and wait, no, that was an Archie comic.
They went up to...
And Kool-Aid Man was also there.
You done?
I'm also going to talk about the Batman Zellers book. And
the time that Spider-Man and the Green Goblin fought at an Expos game. Listen, there's so many of these things. My God.
Oh, well, they went to Calgary. There was some sort of thing that they were supposed to be. They were hired as security
Stampede.
So they go to the Stampede. But then they also meet the Global Guardians, which, you know, that was, their international... heroes, but there was nobody from Canada. But it took place in Canada.
Well, that's something.
Yeah, something.
It's like when two sports teams play in a city that neither of them belongs to.
Yeah. Thanks, Etikokan.
Here's the thing. Here's something that could impact, because the U.S. is putting tariffs on Canadian steel, aluminum, like cars, stuff like that.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure Gotham City is in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Sure. Or at least on the map, it would be around there. Not too far away from Southern Ontario. There's a lot of car manufacturing jobs down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, maybe this is going to dry up Bruce's source of Batmobiles. Maybe he gets his Batmobiles imported from Canada.
Hmm.
And maybe it's not the stupidest thing, because we're very polite, very discreet. You could just sort of get those down to them.
There's the Windsor plant of Batmobiles.
Yeah,
just
like exactly.
Quietly
making Batmobile after Batmobile for Bruce Wayne and not telling anybody.
You know what? This looks like, shh, don't say anything. Just make.
Yeah.
And you have to drive through to Detroit, but it's fine because it's a Batmobile.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if anything,
And also RoboCop is there, so
that's true.
Fine. He's watching out for creeps. Getting that nuke off the street.
We're Canada's putting some tariffs on American... products in retaliation. Famously, we've got a pretty hefty dairy tariff on stuff coming from the U.S. That pre-exists, but it might get worse. Evan Dorkin's Milk and Cheese, banned from Canada.
Mm.
Remember Milk and Cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Milk and Cheese, you guys?
I remember Milk and Cheese.
Kind of.
Here we are.
We made it.
Isn't there a...
155 episodes where we finally mentioned Milk and Cheese. I think we mentioned his Bill and Ted adaptation before Milk and Cheese.
Several times, I'm sure.
It's a good adaptation.
It's very good. Oh, it's fantastic.
Isn't there a, what is it, the man-eating cow from The Tick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There you go.
The man-eating Alberta beef cake. Oh, the Alberta beef cake. That's definitely a male stripper name.
Yeah. First name, Brutus.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
They're going to be, I think it's Kentucky bourbon and, like, beer kegs. They're putting a hefty tariff on. Well, I feel like Wolverine's tastes, and as we've established, he's been deported. He's back in Canada. He's, you know what I mean? I feel like he's more like a Kentucky bourbon kind of guy. He's not, he, you know.
Old English.
He drinks a lot.
Old English.
Yeah. He drinks a lot. He's got a healing factor, so he doesn't get drunk very easily.
And a drinking problem.
So, that's my issue, is that, like, okay, he's probably used to U.S. beer. He probably drinks Budweiser. He's pretty basic.
But then he comes back and he can't handle the Canadian.
Well, that's the thing, exactly.
My healing factor can't keep up.
So that's going to hit him hard. He's already been deported.
Yep.
Like, you know, he tried to cross the border with his like, pointy boots, and he scuffed them up just enough that he didn't think they were bought in the States, but they didn't fall for it. He's having a hard time. So now he's got to switch to what, the Northern Harvest made in Gimli. He's switching to that. Best whiskey.
I like that he comes back to Canada and he decides to live in the middle of it.
Right away, just bang, right there.
Well, he lives in every province.
That's true.
And one territory.
He's a rambling
man. Pick one. Only one.
Just one, yeah. The other two are very upset. He could switch to Ontario craft beer, but I feel like, I don't know, man. Wolverine's got probably... I want to believe he's got a wide palate for these things, but I don't think he does.
No.
It's going to take some adjustment.
Yeah.
He's having a bad time. And apparently they're going to be a tariff on pickles?
No!
Son of a bitch. From the States?
No!
No, we're finally free of Pickle Rick. And all of his fans. We have to look on the bright side. And that's what I got.
And that's the best tasting tariff I ever heard.
Mm-mm-mm. We're gonna see how things develop before, you know, the giant American mechs are decimating the countryside.
Yeah. Well, they'll build that wall against Mexico, and then us Canadian werewolves are gonna come down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a comic.
We'll still be recording from a bunker somewhere in the territories, no matter what happens.
Mm-hmm. We'll get Wolf Cop.
Oh, thank God.
Have you seen that?
I know Wolf Cop.
It's a Canadian indie movie.
Wolf Cop.
Super good bad. Oh,
Wolf Cop.
There's actually two of them now.
That sounds so...
I keep running into them at cons. I was at the Regina Con last year, and...
As long as we have Wolf Cop, we're going to be all right.
It's okay, guys. It's okay.
Moment of Zero. Zero. Moment of zero, 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 zero.
Today, I have a scary story to tell you. Cue the music.
So, cue some scary music. not that music.
Oh, okay.
It's a dark, scary tale of two young boys as they travel far, far away.
Oh no, they're on their own!
To peddle their wares, to make bits of coin to bring home to feed to their hungry children. These two young boys were Merc and CG.
Oh man, he's so realistic, too. He's come so far over the years. I remember, like, in the 90s, CG was pretty rough.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
CG's so good now.
Take a look at that uncanny valley.
Yeah. They had to travel a great distance in a mystical rented Dodge Journey. Which was actually a nice ride. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I'd never even heard of a Dodge Journey. There were many hills and windy roads, but 6 hours into the trip, the first dastardly encounter incurred with the mythical Op of the Sioux, or OPP of the Sioux, however you want to call it.
Oh, I thought you meant like the Union.
No, I know, I thought of that too. We had to pay a toll for going too fast. on the highway. Speeding ticket. So several many hours later, we were crossing the mighty Iron Bridge when we encountered the Troll of the Orange Vests.
What'd you do?
What'd we do? We got to the front of the line, and he sent us on a crazy route in the wrong direction.
So you had a, detour.
We had a detour. Yes, we got sent on a crazy detour through tiny roads, potholes like craters.
Were there dragons?
There were dragons. There was a scary temporary bridge. Ooh. We got to a bridge.
Yeah.
And it was actually has a sign on it that says temporary bridge.
That's...
Why do you have a bridge says temporary?
It's not what you want to see.
No.
If you think about it, all bridges are temporary.
I guess so.
Man.
Everything's temporary. But yeah, we're watching the car ahead of us go over this bridge, and you actually see the boards flipping up.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so the last one, the board just kind of flipped right up. We're like, oh, my God, this is nutty.
Looks like we're going to have to jump.
Yeah. And in the meantime, this is like the detour from, unfortunately, there was a very bad accident. And so people got detoured, and it was like 2.5 hour detour up through the middle of nowhere. And yeah, temporary bridge, and there was all these other cars and semi-trucks and everything all behind us and ahead of us, and somehow we made it through. Resumed the main travel. 17 hours later, we arrive in Aurelia.
Yay!
So, yes.
Worst part's over!
Hopefully, but no. Staying at the Lakehead University residence.
Oh!
Yeah, it was like prison facilities. Very minimalist. No, I won't complain that much. It was actually not too bad. But unfortunately, if you haven't picked up on this yet, this is the Aurelia Comic Con that CG Rackham and I went to.
We all went last year.
We all went last year. It was a one-day event. This year it was expanded to two, and didn't go well. We discovered...
Whoa, spoilers.
Yeah. So we arrive in the morning to set up, and I see I'm either table 53 or 21. Nobody can answer that. I had to answer three riddles in order to enter the arena. Basically the arena was two hockey arenas, like two hockey rinks.
Yeah.
With a connections in between, which is like, okay, that's all right. It's a space, I guess. Artist Alley was on one side, and there was there were wrestlers and a wrestling ring on the other side, and a bunch of angry artist pros. There was like Kevin Eastman, who was so upset with how things went.
Really?
He was gone by noon on the first day.
Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
See, that was like the major thing. I was like, the main reason I kind of wanted to go is like, I want to meet Kevin Eastman, but apparently I would not have had the chance anyway.
No, yeah, we'd have to go right away. I actually never even saw him.
Yeah.
And then somebody told me later on that he ditched on the first day.
Oh, that sucks.
But basically it was like the pros were offered We're sent this information. Oh, and the guy's like, oh, there's going to be like 20,000 people. There's no way he was going to get 20,000 people. I'm trying to think, how many do you think were there last year? Take a ballpark.
2,000 or 3,000?
That's what I said. I was like, maybe a few thousand. Like, it was a small thing, but it was good. Like, it was busy. There was lots of people, but it was a small room.
Filled up for sure, but I mean...
But it was a one-day thing, and like a few hours of that is... few thousand people. Other people were coming up to me saying, oh, we heard last year there was 10,000 people. I'm like, there's no way there was 10,000 people.
Who did you hear that from?
Yeah. And
the exaggerator?
Exactly. So, so the pros have been told that. I have no idea about how they were paid or what they were paid or if they were paid and how that went. They were also promised that they would be put up in a hotel, but they were put up in the LU residence.
Oh my
God.
With us.
With the nobodies?
See, yeah, exactly.
did you party with Jim Starlin?
Funny you should mention that.
Oh no!
I get up in the morning and CG and I head down to, there's like a continental breakfasty thing. And so we're grabbing some food. And I grab a muffin, turn around, and Jim Starlin is standing in front of me. And I'm like,
muffin?
Yeah. What's up, Jim? And I'm like, that's when it clicks. Oh, they're actually put in here with us.
Oh man.
They're not bad rooms. They're not horrible. They're pretty sparse and just bare bones, but there are shared bathrooms. CG and I knew we were sharing a bathroom, so that's fine. Apparently Ty Templeton and his wife were not fine with that, obviously, because they didn't know and they left after the first day as well.
Jim Starlin and Kevin Eastman were sharing a bathroom. They did not get along. It's a lovely sitcom.
Well, Jim Starlin's really tidy and Kevin Eastman's really messy.
I believe it.
So yeah, Templeton and Eastman mastered an escape on the first day, basically. The first day had a late start. I couldn't even tell when the con started. Usually there's some sort of an announcement.
Yeah.
It was supposed to start at 9:30 for the VIPs. I don't even know if there were VIPs. Didn't see anybody. So yeah, I didn't even know if the con had started. It was like, it's supposed to be 9:30. You usually get some sort of like somebody comes over the loudspeaker and says, "We are open." Didn't hear anything. And somebody else told me later that we opened like an hour late, but you know, we had no concept of that. I was thinking of it as the first ever NinjaCon because it was like a bunch of stealthy people just that you couldn't see hiding somewhere because I didn't hardly saw anyone. It was the single quietest con I've ever been to. It was like a preview
and
day.
And you went to that one that was at the Fort William Historical Park.
Yeah. It was actually busier than that. Or it was that one was busier. So second day, we battled the empty air and stillness to get back to the booth, as did CG. The vendors basically just huddled together for warmth and comfort. It was dead. And by that point, at the end of the first day, I'd gone around and heard from a few of the smaller vendors, like the comic guys and whatever, that they were like, "Screw this, we're packing up. We're not coming back to the second day." And somebody was like, "Well, are they going to let you unpack and like use the garage door and get?" He's like, "I'm busting through the door. There's no way you're keeping all my stuff here." And lo and behold, that guy was gone in the morning, and there was somebody else in their space.
Someone else was like, "Yeah, this is good. I'll jump in on this last minute."
Well, I think there was a lot of just movement.
Okay.
I think they just kind of shuffle people around.
You might as well, or you might spread out or
something. Yeah, yeah. I think that's what happened. So all the vendors, basically, we all just started buying each other's stuff, just so that, you know, didn't wither and die.
We all made money.
Yeah.
And then we spent our money.
Yeah, that's basically
just
it.
Just the kids in the hall, businessmen passing their cards to each other.
And we hear a lot of this kind of at the end, and then we see a lot of online discussion afterwards that I guess if you wanted to buy a ticket, you could get an early bird ticket, and it was like, I don't know, $15 or something.
Yeah.
But the at-the-door ticket, the price was not advertised, so people would show up, and they said, $30, please. And
what?
Yeah, that was not advertised, and it's a two-day small con in Aurelia. That's not cool. Like, that's a lot of money for that size of a con. And he was advertising, and I saw somebody had mentioned it, and then I just
and
saw
and honestly, you're in Southern Ontario. There are much bigger cons.
Yeah.
Like, soon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't pull that.
Yeah. But he had said, oh, there was like 300 or 400 vendors. I'm like, there's no way there was 300 or 400 vendors. There was
70? 80?
Something like that, maybe. Like, just ballparking, but there's no way there was that many. And then there was the bring a kid thing. That was you, kids under 12 or something got in free, but only one of them, if you brought two kids, you had to pay for the second one, and it was full price, full adult price.
Are you, what?
That's crazy.
It shouldn't be full adult price for kids.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So we thought it was going to end at 6. That's the way it had been kind of advertised, and then somebody said, no, it ends at 4. But when you do these long cons, even if they're just 2 days, by the end it always kind of
long con indeed.
it always kind of peters out anyways, and so like even if we close early, that's fine, but you gotta let people know.
So we
thought, okay, if it's closing at 4:30, there'd be an announcement at like 3 or 3:30 just to give a heads up, we'll be closing the doors at this time, fine, just so we know. We can actually start organizing a little bit early, because we have a lot of stuff to move in and out. There was no heads up. It was 4:00, and an angry man came over the loudspeaker and says, "That's it, we're done. The con is over." Boom. And that was all we heard.
Oh my God.
There was no thanks for coming?
Yeah, I don't even know.
Like, thanks it was, for playing?
It was literally, I was talking to somebody and I just kind of like, what just happened? What? Yeah.
Not ideal.
We had heard rumors that it was going to close early, but, you know, nothing. Yeah. Just suddenly it was there. So yeah, CG and I escaped with our lives, and pretty much
I don't. I haven't
pretty
seen,
much all
I,
our,
I haven't seen him since.
No, I buried him at Sault Ste. Marie. And then we had another 14-hour drive home. Yeah.
So going again next year, huh?
Yep. Signing up again. Nope.
Maybe this year, Brian, I will come back.
But they say the worst situations, you make the best friends right. In the tougher times. And aww. I have to say, I had very good vendor mates all around me. There was Adam from Fiction Design that was on the right side. Todd and Emily from Blue Banshee Press on my left. Ricky and Casey, sorry, I'm totally forgetting your last names. They were behind. Super nice people.
Yeah.
And it was like we're all kind of going through a shitstorm together.
Do they have stuff that we could check out?
Yes. So Blue Banshee Press, you can check out
Tommy Gunn Banshee.
Tommy Gunn Banshee.
I remember that from last year.
Do you?
Yeah, I got like the mini comic.
Oh really?
Yeah, this is familiar.
Yeah. I've got one or maybe a couple of their buttons and like an 8-page like mini comic.
Yeah, he finally he's got the first one done and he's working on the second one right now. He's actually a professional animator. That's what he does regularly, and he's doing this on the side because he just wants to eventually just do this. Really nice stuff. Kind of like a, you know, 30s gangster, supernatural feel sort of thing. Pretty cool. So yeah, Tommy Gunn Banshee from Blue Banshee Press. I also picked up. He's got a couple. Rick Lima is his name. He's the writer, Black Hole Hunters Club. This is kind of like a space horror-esque sort of deal. He also did a sketch for me. He's like a writer, and he's like, do you want me to do a sketch for you, too? Because I think he was just looking for something to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure. And he goes, what do you want? And I said, an alien? He goes, like, the alien? Or I'm like, no, make up your own alien. So then it's like an hour or two later, and I'm thinking, is he going to show up with my... And then all of a sudden he's there, and he made like a little ink and... watercolor thing, and it's like She Balloon and Creep Snake, and he made these little aliens and he wrote a little story underneath. And I'm like, aww, that's awesome.
Oh my God.
Yeah, super fun. Then there's,
because all balloons are normally boys, right? We know that.
Fiction Design, which is Adam, who used to be in a metalcore band for years and knows a bunch of people in Thunder Bay because he toured through here all the time.
Of course.
Yeah. He knows Marie, everyone.
Oh, everyone knows
Marie. Marie. He's like, oh, there's a server, Marie? And I'm like, yeah, know exactly who you're talking about. She went on tour with them, apparently, for 7 months.
Checks out.
Yep. But, yeah, he does, like, he loves Star Wars, and he's a fantastic artist and did a bunch of very cool things.
Oh, hey!
He had a bunch of stickers.
There's a bunch of droids.
A bunch of droids, And so this was his first con ever. He had never really done this sort of thing, and he was trying. Yeah, I know, I felt bad. But it was an experience. And he does a bunch of other, he's done a few other pieces of art and like big prints. And he does like silk screening stuff too. And it was gorgeous work, gorgeous stuff. And then there was Casey Parson. I picked up this print.
Ooh.
This is a Spider-Woman one. And I think he's working on a couple of comics, but he didn't have much at that point.
That's really nice though.
Yeah. Casey Parsons, illustrator, fine artist.
And more.
Yeah.
And more.
He has a thing on myportfolio.com. That's my rant.
That is that.
Yeah.
For the time being.
I'm never going to sleep.
Yeah.
Never. Never again.
Also because it's morning.
Yeah.
Oh, it's afternoon now. Hey, we made it.
We made it. All right. Who are we?
I'm Kyle Lees. You can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com. I've got books and art prints and t-shirts and probably more. Yeah, so go to that site or just look up the Kyle Lees on your search engine of choice. I like web crawler.
My name is Bry Kotick. I'm more of an Alta Vista man. Yeah, you can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com, where God is trapped on Earth currently, and he doesn't like it.
Hmm. Imagine that.
Running from Jesse Custer.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, there we go.
There's nice. Your ultimate crossover.
I'm going to get sued. and I'm on social media under BRYKOTYK. I've got a lot of the same stuff that Kyle does. However, I got to set up some sort of proper store or something for God's sake.
Mm-hmm.
For God's sake.
For number one God's sake.
Yeah.
Those are some nice mugs.
Thank you.
Hey, nice mugs.
Woo.
I am Merc, and I am an Ask Jeeves sort of guy.
Oh, bring it back.
Yep.
Hashtag bring it back.
Please don't. You can find my stuff at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca, Merc on Facebook, Mercanaut on Instagram, Mercasylum on Twitters. On my website, I have a store and three graphic novels, t-shirts, the odd print, that sort of stuff. My website will be getting revamped soon.
Ooh.
For easier purchasing and reorganization. But that will take a bit. And that's all I got.
Ah, but the house!
Yeah, exactly. Now, as always, thank you to Ocean City Defender for helping us out with the music. Check him out, Ocean City Defender, not the game, the music.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a new album coming out at some point.
Check out the game too. Come on.
Yeah, feel free.
Make an entire day of it.
Yes.
And as always, if you like the show, tell a friend or, you know, subscribe, like, comment, smash that button.
Smash that. God. Smash that like button, fam.
We need to go.
Yes. We do go now.
Okay. All right.
See you next week.
Bye.